This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mixed messages on 401ks. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Thursday, October 26, here's what we have for you this hour.
A key member of Congress says caps to 401k retirement plans are still on the table as part of an effort to rewrite tax laws. But President Trump has voiced his opposition.
Prominent Democrats have yet to react to the Washington Post report about the Russia dossier.
The World Series is tied at one game each after the Astros came from behind to beat the Dodgers in 11 innings. Game 3 is tomorrow in Houston.
And the trends taking place when it comes to the cost of college.
Families are borrowing less, especially at the undergraduate level. Students are taking out less in federal and other loans, which means by the time they graduate, if they stay on that pace, they won't be burdened by quite as much loan debt as their counterparts a few years earlier.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn on the cost of college edging higher and how students and admissions offices are responding. She's here in about 20 minutes. The silence is deafening from Hillary Clinton and top officials of her presidential campaign about the story that her campaign and the Democratic National Committee had paid for research that resulted in a dossier alleging Russian interference on behalf of Donald Trump in the 2016 election. One of those who weighed in was House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who said the story really broke too late for her.
No, I have no knowledge of it except what I saw on TV, and that wasn't much. That was very late last night.
No word from Mrs. Clinton nor her campaign manager, Robbie Mook. Mr. Trump, meanwhile, did not miss an opportunity to weigh in.
Hillary Clinton always denied it. The Democrats always denied it. And now only because it's going to come out in a court case, they said, yes, they did it. They admitted it. And they're embarrassed by it.
The Washington Post reported Tuesday that Democratic attorney Mark Elias had retained the research firm Fusion GPS, which later hired Christopher Steele, a former British intelligence agent. His reports were turned into the dossier. Unsettling news about our favorite retirement plans. You may have heard President Trump earlier this week saying that capping contributions to 401k plans would not be part of tax reform legislation. But Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, says caps are still on the table. Mr. Trump appears to be holding firm in his demand.
401ks to me are very important. And they're important because that's one of the great benefits to the middle class. I didn't want that to go too far. That's why I ended it very quickly.
House lawmakers are hustling to prepare the fine print for next week on their planned tax overhaul. Republicans have made broad plans to reduce individual and corporate taxes, but have left out many details over who wins and who loses and which breaks stay and which change. As part of the attempted redo of the tax law, there are also differences over a proposal to deny individuals the right to claim state and local tax deductions. Meanwhile, more now from Washington Post senior economic correspondent Damian Pauletta on what's happening with the back and forth over 401ks and potential caps to contributions. Damian, what's going on here?
Well, on Monday, after several days of rumors, President Trump told everyone in a Twitter post that there would be no changes in this tax plan to 401k accounts. You know, more than 50 million Americans have these retirement accounts, and there had been concern that there were going to be some changes in the tax plan that would essentially remove some of the tax benefit as a way for the government to raise more revenue. President Trump tried to put a kibosh on this, saying on Monday that it would not be the case, but today we heard from House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady that they are considering changes to the 401k accounts as part of the tax rewrite that they're going to put out next week. You know, it's really interesting to hear two Republicans who have so much influence over the process, President Trump and Chairman Brady, take very different positions on an issue that's this core to so many Americans, you know, this late in the process.
All right, so that would be a pretty big deal. Whitney said 50 million Americans, but did Brady argue that so many folks only contribute like $200 a month or less?
That's right. Brady's saying that these accounts don't really create enough incentive, or they're not being used in a way that people are saving enough, you know, especially early in their careers, like in their 20s. And he thinks that some changes could be made to incentivize people to save more and save at a younger age. Now, he didn't say what those changes might be.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the devil's in the details on something like this. But obviously, you know, all financial advisors say the sooner that you can start saving money for retirement, even if it's just squirreling away a couple $100 a month in your 20s, that money really snowballs and can become a tremendous amount of money as you get closer to retirement. But, you know, like this is an issue that's sort of near and dear to many people's hearts, obviously with so many pension plans being phased out or already gone, you know, and Social Security, all these questions about Social Security, your 401k and your IRA accounts, those could be the only kind of cushion you've got when you get close to retirement. So there's going to be a lot of people paying very close attention to what they do here.
Well, it seems like, at least to me, my opinion here, it seems like such a cash grab when you consider this is the same, well, not the same, but I mean, this is the government that created auto-enrollment in 401k plans, right, a few years back?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's a real concern about people as they live longer, you know, having the finances to sort of live a comfortable lifestyle. And so, you know, whether there are improvements that can be made here, I think it's something that, you know, people will be very interested in. But, you know, we really haven't heard much about it. There have not been congressional hearings looking at these proposed changes. And if they want to get this tax bill done by the end of the year, and they're going to try to, you know, really jam these changes through quickly, that could really make a lot of people nervous.
Wow. We're speaking with Damian Poletta, senior economic correspondent at The Washington Post. We're talking about this 401k proposal, which Kevin Brady is now saying, you know what, it is still on the table, even though President Trump had said, no, it's not. Any reaction from employers? Would they be, I don't know, would they feel one way or the other about this?
Well, I mean, obviously, employers would, this would impact them a lot in several different ways. A lot of employers, you know, match at least partially some of the contributions that people make to their 401ks. So if there's new caps on the amount of money or lower caps on the amount of money people can contribute, then employers might, you know, not have to give as much money to their employees for savings. Now, I think employers have an incentive to want people to save more and to offer this as a benefit. So maybe they have to create some new kind of way to help people save. You know, that I guess we don't know until we find out. But this will have a big impact both on workers and employers.
We're still really lacking details here, aren't we, on this overall tax plan?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're supposed to find out a lot more information of the House plan next week. But, you know, they want to pass this through the House in just a few weeks before they move to the Senate. And, you know, we don't know key details like what the income tax brackets are going to be, whether there's going to be a new tax rate for people that make over $1 million, whether there's going to be changes to the estate tax. There's so many, you know, crucial questions that haven't been answered. And all those things are going to impact, you know, virtually every American.
Thanks, Damian. Washington Post senior economic correspondent Damian Poletta. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. A judge is allowing President Trump's decision to end subsidy payments to health insurance companies under Obamacare. U.S. District Judge Vince Chabria in San Francisco said the federal government did not have to make the payments while litigation over the subsidies unfolds. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
The Trump administration this month terminated subsidies to the insurers, saying the payments were never authorized by Congress. After the decision, 18 states asked for an immediate order halting the move while the case is litigated. In his ruling, Judge Chabria, an Obama appointee, said the kind of emergency order requested was not necessary, and that most state regulators have devised responses that give millions of lower-income people better health coverage options than they would otherwise have had. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The subsidies were amounting to nearly $600 million a month. They were due to cost $7 billion this year and estimated to grow to $10 billion for 2018. Insurers, by the way, say they do not profit from the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act, but pass them on directly to consumers to reduce deductibles, copayments, and other out-of-pocket medical expenses for low-income people. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump will order his health secretary to declare the opioid crisis a public health emergency today, but will stop short of declaring a more sweeping state of national emergency, according to his aides. In an address from the White House, Trump will also rally the nation to a growing epidemic that claimed 64,000 American lives last year. And they say he'll advocate for a sustained national effort to end the addiction crisis. This is all from senior administration officials who previewed all of this to USA Today on condition of anonymity. What President Trump tweeted as the long-anticipated release of the JFK files takes place today, 54 years after the former president was murdered in Dallas. Some of Trump's advisors have reportedly urged him to block at least some of the files, but the White House hasn't said whether he'll do that. Three military officials familiar with the Niger operation revealed details to the Washington Post on condition of anonymity because of its sensitivity. They say the Pentagon deployed elite commandos in response to the deadly ambush of special forces in Niger, fearing that Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, missing at the time, was alive and might fall into enemy hands. The city of Philadelphia is trumpeting preliminary September revenue collections of just under $7.5 million for its beverage tax, the highest dollar amount collected in a single month since March. The controversial tax that began this year is meant to fund an expanded pre-K program and community facilities. Cash-strapped cities around the country are keeping tabs on how that soda tax is panning out, as are retailers in the beverage industry who call it a job killer. Ladies and gentlemen, we have us a World Series.
The 2-1 to Springer, and a swinging ball well hit to right center field. Hernandez giving chase, not going to get there. And it is gone. It carried right over the fence in right center.
Dan Shulman on ESPN Radio, as George Springer's two-run home run in the top of the 11th gave the Astros a 7-5 lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 2. Houston going on to win it 7-6 in 11 innings to tie that series at a game apiece. And after a six-year hiatus, Sears is sending its annual holiday catalog again, the Wish Book, not to your mailbox, but to your inbox, your tablet, laptop, or smartphone. The new digital edition will also be available on the Sears app with prices that'll update as they change over the holiday season.
Isn't that going to make your tablet really heavy, though, when they send this thing that way? See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
It wasn't good, was it?
We'll talk later.
23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. College continues to get more expensive for students and for schools that are shelling out grant money to attract students. Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Melissa Korn has a look at some new numbers. Melissa, what have you found?
The two ways in which we look at college costs, the published tuition and fee rates, so kind of the sticker price, and also the net price, which is what you actually pay after grants and tax benefits. Both of those are on the upswing. In fact, the net price is increasing at a faster rate than the sticker price. So while the published rates are going up, grant aid isn't keeping pace. So families are paying more out of pocket for school this year than they did last year, and that's continued upswing in the last 5 or 10 years.
Goodness. The rates aren't going up as sharply as they were. Is that some sort of silver lining here, if there is one?
That's some silver lining. Another silver lining is that families are borrowing less, especially at the undergraduate level. Students are taking out less in federal and other loans, which means by the time they graduate, if they stay on that pace, they won't be burdened by quite as much loan debt as their counterparts 5 years, counterparts a few years earlier.
Gotcha.
Right in the wake of the recession.
All right, so the reason costs are still going up are what?
A little bit of everything. It costs a lot to educate students in that traditional campus-based setting. So overhead for facilities, faculty and staff salaries and pensions, healthcare costs, things like that. It's just an expensive proposition. Schools are also more and more using tuition dollars from the full-paying students to compensate and cover the costs of those students who can't afford the full price. So they're not necessarily making a ton of money by raising the prices. A lot of that just goes funneled right back into the students.
Right. All right. So what about grants and need-based aid or merit aid? What kind of progress are maybe the students making on that front?
Yeah, so grants are definitely a big way that families pay for college. More and more that grant aid is coming from the schools rather than from the federal government. There are a ton of federal and state offerings like Pell Grants at the federal level, merit-based and need-based at the state level. And then schools are throwing in a lot of money based on merit. So, hey, you're a straight-A student. Let's give you some more money. It'll try to entice you to come here. Sometimes their schools also do give a lot of money based on a family's financial need, but it's kind of more of a competitive marketing tactic now for schools to be offering merit-based awards to help lure those top-tier students to their campuses. So it's good for the students. You know, they get more of their college paid for by somebody else, but a lot of schools are finding that really high discount model isn't particularly sustainable.
Thanks, Melissa. Wall Street Journal higher ed reporter Melissa Korn. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, October 26th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Despite White House objections, 401k contribution caps are still possible in a potential tax overhaul. The nation's opioid crisis will be declared a public health emergency. Some JFK assassination files will be released today. Home in upstate New York is raising eyebrows for a Halloween display with a tombstone that reads, "Trump burn in hell." World Series tied at one. And the gift a Memphis woman received from her colleagues at a cleaning company. That story in about 20 minutes. The Senate has voted to overturn a rule aimed at making it easier for Americans to sue banks. The banks are happy. What's this mean for the rest of us? We're joined now by credit expert Paul Oster, president of a New Jersey-based company called Better Qualified. Paul, how do you see it?
Well, this is certainly a blow to the average consumer, and not a good thing, you know, for us as you know, tens of millions of people using credit cards and clients of these banking institutions, which, by the way, haven't shown a very good track record in terms of having our best interests at heart.
All right. So for the typical consumer now, if, say, we have a complaint about a bank, what do we do if we're not going to band together and sue?
Yeah, so this really comes down to, you know, not an argument over, let's say, you know, small potato type things, but the fact that they've removed the class action, the ability for consumers to band together. Look, class action lawsuits are not started on frivolous claims. You know, typically, you know, millions of consumers have been wronged in some way, shape, or form, and there's a class action lawsuit filed. So what this does is it takes that option off the table, and the average person who, you know, has been wronged by a big banking corporation, you know, let's face it, they're not prepared to fight this fight. They're not going to follow through with the arbitration. And look, I get what, you know, the GOP is saying in terms of class action lawsuits usually don't result in a great benefit to the consumer in the first place, financially speaking, monetarily speaking. But the fact, let's not forget why the class action lawsuit was filed in the first place. It's usually not about a monetary gain for the average consumer. It's to force a large corporation, in this case the banks, to change their policies and procedures. So what the GOP should have done is change the model for class action lawsuits. Look, I don't agree with the fact that, you know, the attorneys are the ones who actually profit millions and millions of dollars off these class action lawsuits,
yeah.
And the average consumer gets $32.
Right, I saw that.
But
yeah.
Again, the reason why the class action lawsuit was filed in the first place has to be considered. That has to be the reason why we go back and we put this law and regulation back in place, but just change the model of the class action lawsuit that doesn't allow the attorneys to benefit monetarily as much as they do.
Mm. All right, so why wasn't that done? The attorneys have they're better lobbyists, I guess, than little guys like us and
well,
banks.
Let's not forget who was lobbying, you know, in the first place to have this regulation repealed. It was the attorneys themselves. So, you know, what this does is, again, it takes any power that the average consumer may have had in the first place. You know, it's David versus Goliath here. So, you know, we're not in the position to fight this fight. And again, this is too broad of a stroke, a repeal of regulation that really helped the consumer in the first place.
Mm. We're speaking with Paul Auster, credit repair expert and president of Better Qualified. We're talking about the Senate's decision to eliminate this rule that allowed consumers to band together to sue banks. All right, so kind of go through the scenario, I guess, where you can see a consumer really being hurt here because of this rule.
Well, again, if you look back at the track record, you know, we only have to go back a couple of weeks, you know, to look at the Equifax data breach. You only have to go back, you know, a couple of months to look at what Wells Fargo did to their clients, you know, opening up these accounts unbeknownst to the average consumer. You only have to go back, you know, so far to look at what Bank of America did to their clients. So, again, this is a situation where the average consumer, yeah, you can close your account. Yes, you can, you know, write a letter. You can, you know, have a dispute and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, the banks walk away unscathed from the policies and procedures that, look, they were put in place knowing that they were going to harm the average person.
It was Paul Auster, president of Better Qualified in New Jersey. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. We use the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, some good-natured fun with folks who keep it real, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Glad you could be with us on this Friday Eve, if you will. Beyond the headlines now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, in a World Series Game 2 full of lead changes, oddities, massive homers, bullpen meltdowns, joyous celebrations, and calamitous defeat, Astros outfielder Cameron Maybin quietly turned in what was, for some, by far, the most valuable contribution of the night. According to USA Today, not only did Maybin's 11th inning single set up George Springer's decisive homer, but by stealing a base after the single, Maybin enacted Taco Bell's annual Steal a Base, Steal a Taco promotion, and won free tacos for America. Because the first steal came in Game 2, hungry Taco Bell enthusiasts may be able to enjoy the cheesy, beefy fruits of Maybin's dash before the World Series is even over. Free Doritos Locos Tacos will be distributed at participating Taco Bell locations on November 1st between 2 and 6 p.m. And if the World Series goes to a decisive Game 7, it will also take place later that day, starting at 8:09 p.m. Eastern Time, so fans on the West Coast could enjoy free World Series-delivered tacos while watching an actual World Series game.
No way.
There you go. Eating your free tacos while cheering on your team.
Oh, my goodness. That's at least a trifecta there.
Yes.
Goodness.
Yes, that is exciting stuff for a lot of people. I've noticed tacos are on the upswing. I mean, they've always been around.
Yeah.
But I noticed that people seem to be really, really into tacos right now for whatever reason, whether from
right?
Taco Bell or elsewhere. Just people are always talking about tacos. Anecdotally, that's what I've noticed.
I was just going to say, that's anecdotally like in the Gavin world?
Gavin world, social media world.
Yeah.
You notice people are always talking about tacos now for some reason. So I think this is going to go over well.
Doritos Locos Tacos.
Yes, I've had those. They're pretty decent. Yeah. I'll be online that day, most likely.
Notice you haven't brought any in.
Okay.
To share with the staff.
Well, perhaps we should take a field trip.
Okay.
On the free taco deck.
Count
me
in.
Not buying, but you know, if you want to go and get your free one with me,
okay.
I'll wait online with you.
You drive, I'll buy.
And with so many pumpkins around this time of year, Gordon, could you pick yours out of a lineup? That's exactly what police in one Missouri town are asking after teenagers were caught orange-handed with 48 stolen pumpkins and one gourd. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, pumpkins began vanishing last week from subdivisions in the suburb of Maryland Heights. Police quickly tracked down the boys and their pumpkin-crammed SUV that they say was top-to-bottom orange. The next day, officers snapped a picture of the abducted decor and posted it to Facebook. Police say they have been inundated with people coming in to track down their missing pumpkins from the lineup. As of Tuesday, only about a dozen remained unclaimed, thankfully. None of the pumpkins was carved.
Hmm.
Do you think it is possible that a pumpkin could be stolen off your porch and you could go down to the police station and pick out which one it was?
No.
Out of a lineup of 48
No.
similar orange pumpkins.
And speaking of Halloween, I've gone now cold turkey, it seems, in terms of decorations.
Oh, wow.
My daughter used to be completely into it. Dad, we got to get stuff. You know, each year she wanted a different display in the front yard. Mm-hmm. This year, not a peep.
Wow.
But she just turned 13. So, well, I'm saving a lot of money.
Right.
But I don't get the father-daughter experience I've had the past several years.
Yes, so. She's on to more important things, yeah, perhaps.
So we're done with Halloween. Cold turkey in the deal house. Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. When it comes to our health as a nation, we're not doing so great. Some cancer rates are climbing sharply. Nearly 1 in 8 Americans has diabetes, and we are ballooning in weight with obesity rates at record highs. Amid that grim picture, however, government researchers have a glimmer of good news. Our cholesterol numbers, which have improved significantly over the past 17 years, are holding steady. Since 1999, the number of Americans suffering from high total cholesterol has declined from about 18% to about 12% in 2016. Health experts attribute the positive results to several key factors. The public's growing awareness of high cholesterol's dangers, more people's health-conscious diets, the phase-out of artificial trans fats in the food supply, and the use of cholesterol-lowering statin medications. Speaking of statins, from 2003 to 2012, the CDC says the percentage of adults older than 40 and taking statins and other cholesterol meds increased from 20% to 28%. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, anonymous sources say President Trump could officially declare the opioid epidemic a national emergency during a major speech today. Trump promised the action in August, which could free up money for a stronger federal response. A win for the White House after a federal judge ruled the Trump administration does not need to resume paying the Affordable Care Act's cost-sharing subsidies. The court says the administration appears initially to have the stronger legal argument over its decision to terminate the payments. The Health and Human Services Department posted plans and premiums for the coming year on healthcare.gov so consumers can begin window shopping. A new analysis by health consultancy Avalere finds the average price of the most popular types of Obamacare health plans sold on the federal insurance marketplace will be at least 34% higher in 2018. The National Archives is trying to tamp down expectations about today's document dump of previously unreleased files related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. According to its website, about 88% of the records in the 5 million-page JFK collection already have been made public. Fats Domino has passed away. The rock and roll pioneer died Tuesday at his home in Louisiana after a long illness. He was 89. Fats hit the big time in 1955 with Ain't That a Shame and went on to score 37 top 40 hits, including Blueberry Hill and I'm Walkin'. I'm walking. Yeah, the need, I'm talking. Fats had to be rescued by boat during Hurricane Katrina, and he continued to live in the Ninth Ward after he was allowed to return. Well, the World Series is tied at a game apiece after Houston won a hard-fought Game 2, 7-6 over the Dodgers in 11 innings. Game 3 moves to Houston tomorrow night, and you could say the World Series is going to the dogs. Good Dog Houston has accepted the challenge from L.A.'s Pink's Hot Dogs. The losing hot dog shop will pay the shop owner of the winning city to give away free hot dogs the day following the last game. So you got to give them away and they'll pay for it. Good Dog is selling a special Astros dog for the duration, and legendary Pink's is currently decked out in Dodger blue.
All right. How about that? So Mike did the story on free tacos available thanks to a steal of second base, and now we've got the potential for free hot dogs.
I mean, Viva baseball, baby.
We are living the good life here. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Every day for the past 2 months, Linda Walton has followed the same routine. Wakes up at 5, walks over a mile to the nearest bus stop, rides the bus 2 hours to get at work by 8:30. CBS News says the woman from Memphis spends a total of 6 hours a day in transit and doesn't complain. In fact, her co-workers at the cleaning company Pristine Clean didn't even know how long it took her to travel back and forth till one day a team leader offered her a ride home. That's when everybody got together and went to the owner, Chrissy Tamaro, and said, let's help her. First, an employee found a used car for sale. Then a group of 6 employees pulled together some money and made the purchase. They recently surprised Ms. Walton with her new 1998 Pontiac Grand Prix. They also pitched in to pay for new tires, an oil change, the first month of car insurance, and $100 in gas cards. That's some good fellow employees right there. For Rasa K, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.